Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Vanishing Motel. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Check-In. The rain fell in heavy sheets, blurring the windshield of the old station wagon as it pulled into the gravel parking lot of the Restful Pines Motel. Neon lights flickered above the sign, casting an eerie glow onto the cracked pavement below. The faint hum of electricity was the only sound, aside from the rhythmic patter of rain and the occasional rumble of thunder in the distance. Inside the car sat the Bennett family, a seemingly ordinary group of four. James, the father, gripped the steering wheel tightly, his knuckles white with strain. His wife, Melissa, sat in the passenger seat, scrolling through her phone, though there was no signal in the remote area. In the back seat, their teenage daughter, Chloe, and their youngest son, Ethan, were engaged in a quiet argument over who got to control the last working tablet. "Enough," James said, his voice stern but weary. He pulled the car into a spot closest to the office. "We'll be here for one night. Let's just get some rest and get back on the road tomorrow." Melissa shot him a glance. "Are you sure this place is safe? It looks abandoned." "It's all we've got," he replied. "The storm isn't letting up, and the next town is over 50 miles away." The family reluctantly piled out of the car, grabbing their bags as they hurried through the rain. Inside the dimly lit motel office, the air smelled faintly of mildew. A small bell sat on the counter, tarnished from years of neglect. James rang it once, the sound echoing unnervingly in the empty space. After a moment, a man emerged from the back room. He was tall and gaunt, with sunken eyes that seemed to absorb every detail. His name tag read Carl, but the letters were faded, almost illegible. "Room for four?" Carl asked, his voice low and gravelly. "Yeah," James said. "Just for the night." Carl slid a ledger across the counter, and James signed in while Melissa shifted uncomfortably behind him. The entire place felt wrong. Too quiet, too empty. She glanced toward the security camera mounted in the corner. Its red light blinked steadily, watching. Carl handed over a key attached to a worn leather fob. "Room 6," he said. "Enjoy your stay." The room was modest, with two double beds, a small television, and outdated wallpaper that peeled at the edges. Chloe wrinkled her nose as they entered. "This place is gross," she muttered, dropping her backpack on the bed closest to the window. "It's just for the night," Melissa said, though her tone lacked conviction. As the family settled in, James turned on the TV, hoping for weather updates, but the screen only displayed static. Melissa busied herself unpacking essentials while Chloe and Ethan resumed their bickering. Outside, the rain intensified, and the wind howled through the trees surrounding the motel. The faint hum of the neon sign seeped into the room, a constant, unsettling presence. At 2:17 a.m., the first strange occurrence happened. The motel security footage later revealed a faint shadow moving past the door of room 6. It lingered briefly before disappearing into the darkness. Inside, the Bennetts were fast asleep, unaware of the presence outside. But Melissa stirred, her eyes fluttering open. She glanced at the window, where the curtains swayed slightly, though the window was shut. A chill ran down her spine. "James," she whispered, nudging her husband. He groaned, turning over. "What? Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" She hesitated. The room was silent, save for the rain tapping against the glass. "Never mind," she said, lying back down. But her unease lingered, growing stronger with each passing minute. By morning, the Bennetts were gone. Room 6 was left in pristine condition. No signs of struggle, no belongings left behind. The bed sheets were neatly tucked, the bathroom unused. The only clue was the security footage, which captured the family entering the room, but never leaving. The motel staff discovered the empty room at checkout time. Carl, unbothered by much of anything, called the local authorities with a shrug. They probably left early, he told the responding officer, Detective Laura Hayes, a sharp-eyed investigator who had seen her fair share of strange cases. But Laura wasn't convinced. Something about the footage didn't sit right. She replayed the tape, frame by frame, watching as the shadow appeared and lingered outside room 6. Who else was here last night? She asked Carl. No one, he replied. They were the only guests. She stared at the screen, her instincts telling her this wasn't a simple disappearance. Outside, the rain had stopped, but the air remained heavy with tension. The parking lot was empty, save for the Bennett's car, which still sat in the same spot, locked and untouched. As Laura stood outside room 6, she felt a strange sensation, a prickling at the back of her neck, as if someone or something was watching her. The case of the vanishing motel was just beginning, and what lay ahead would challenge everything Laura thought she knew about justice, human nature, and the forces that linger in the shadows. Chapter 2. The investigation begins. Detective Laura Hayes stood outside room 6, the damp morning air clinging to her skin. She stared at the locked door, her mind racing with possibilities. Inside, everything was pristine, too pristine. No signs of a struggle, no personal belongings, and yet no indication the Bennett family had ever left. Their station wagon remained parked in the same spot, an eerie reminder of their unexplained disappearance. Laura turned to Carl, the disinterested motel clerk who stood a few feet away, smoking a cigarette with a vacant expression. You're sure no one else checked in last night? She asked again. Carl took a long drag, blowing smoke into the air. Told you already. They were the only ones. Place has been dead for weeks. Laura frowned, her gaze shifting to the parking lot. Something about Carl's nonchalance irritated her. And you didn't notice anything unusual? No noises. No visitors. Look, lady, I don't get paid enough to play detective. I clocked out at midnight and went to bed. Whatever happened after that ain't my problem. She bit back her frustration. Arguing with Carl wouldn't get her anywhere. Fine. I'll need the security footage from last night, and I'll be taking a look around. Carl shrugged. Suit yourself. The tapes are in the back. Inside the cramped motel office, Laura sat in front of an outdated monitor, scrolling through hours of grainy footage. The security system was rudimentary, capturing black and white images from a handful of cameras positioned around the property. She fast-forwarded through the footage, pausing when the Bennett family appeared. She watched as they checked in, their faces illuminated by the flickering neon sign. Melissa looked uneasy, glancing over her shoulder as if sensing something was off. As Laura continued watching, the footage revealed nothing unusual, until 2:17 a.m. A faint shadow moved across the camera covering room 6. It wasn't a person, at least not one Laura could easily identify. The shape was indistinct, almost fluid, and it lingered by the door for several seconds before vanishing. Laura rewound the footage, playing it again and again. Each time, the shadow sent a chill down her spine. Didn't see that the first time, did you? She jumped, spinning around to find Carl leaning against the doorway, his cigarette dangling from his lips. No, I didn't, she admitted. What do you make of it? Carl smirked. Ghost stories, probably. Locals say this place is haunted. Always thought it was nonsense, but... You never know. Laura narrowed her eyes. Haunted. What do you mean? Carl shrugged. You know, the usual crap. People disappearing, weird noises, lights flickering. Been going on for years. That's why we don't get many guests. Folks around here avoid this place like the plague. She turned back to the monitor, her gut telling her there was more to this than superstition. By late afternoon, Laura had called in a forensic team to comb through room 6. The technicians dusted for fingerprints, examined every surface, and even checked the air vents. But after hours of meticulous work, the results were the same. Nothing. No signs of foul play, the lead technician reported. It's like the family was never here. Laura frowned. What about their car? Loctite. No prints, no personal items. No sign it was even driven recently. It's spotless. Her frustration grew. How could an entire family vanish without leaving a single clue? As the day turned into evening, Laura decided to question the locals about the motel's history. She drove to the nearest diner, a rundown place called Betty's Eats, where the smell of grease and coffee filled the air. The patrons fell silent when she entered, their eyes darting toward her badge. Laura approached the counter, where an elderly woman with a kind face greeted her. "Coffee?" the woman asked. "Please," Laura said, sitting on a stool. "I'm Detective Hayes. I'm investigating something that happened at the Restful Pines Motel. Ever hear of anything strange going on there?" The woman's expression darkened. "You're not from around here, are you?"
"No, ma'am.
I'm with the state police." The woman hesitated, glancing around the diner before leaning closer. "That place has always been trouble. People go there and don't come back. Some say it's cursed."
"Cursed?"
Laura repeated. "They built it on old land. Bad land. There was a fire there decades ago. Burned down an orphanage. A lot of kids died, and the ones who survived, well, let's just say they didn't turn out right." Laura's pulse quickened. "What happened to the survivors?"
"Most of them left town, but a few stayed. One of them was Carl's father. He ran that motel for years before he passed. Now Carl's got it, but he's no better than his old man. That place is evil, Detective. You'd be smart to stay away."
Later that night, Laura returned to the motel, her mind racing with questions. She parked her car near room 6 and stepped out, the cool night air prickling her skin. The property was silent, save for the faint hum of the neon sign. Laura approached the door of room 6, her flashlight cutting through the darkness. As she reached for the handle, a low whisper echoed through the air.
"Leave."
She froze, her breath catching in her throat. She turned, shining her flashlight in every direction, but saw nothing. "Hello," she called out. No response. Laura's grip tightened on her flashlight as she opened the door to room 6. The air inside was heavy, oppressive. She stepped inside, her eyes scanning the room for anything out of place. Suddenly, the door slammed shut behind her. She spun around, heart pounding, but the room was empty. And then she saw it. On the mirror above the dresser, faint letters began to appear, as if written by an invisible hand. "They're still here." Laura's investigation had taken a terrifying turn. Whatever was happening at the Restful Pines Motel, it was far from over. And the Bennett family's fate was only the beginning. Chapter 3: The Forgotten Survivors. Detective Laura Hayes stood frozen in room 6, her breath hitching as the words, "They're still here," scrawled themselves across the mirror. Her flashlight trembled slightly in her hand as she scanned the room, the oppressive silence broken only by the faint hum of the neon motel sign outside. Her instincts screamed at her to leave, but she couldn't. This was the first tangible lead in the Bennett family's disappearance, and she wasn't about to turn back now. Swallowing her fear, Laura took a tentative step closer to the mirror, her reflection distorted by the ghostly writing. "Who's here?" she whispered, her voice barely audible. The room offered no response, only the sound of her own breathing. She reached out to touch the mirror, but the writing disappeared the moment her fingers grazed the surface. The cold glass felt normal, but the weight in the room didn't lift. Outside, a car engine roared to life, startling Laura. She bolted from the room, her heart pounding as she scanned the parking lot. The only car there was the Bennett station wagon, its headlights flickering on and off erratically. Laura approached cautiously, her hand on her holstered gun. The vehicle was locked, as it had been all day, and the keys were unaccounted for. As she circled the car, the headlights abruptly died, plunging the lot into darkness once more. She peered into the windows, expecting to see nothing, but her stomach turned when she noticed the faint outline of a handprint on the inside of the driver's side window. "Who's there?" she demanded, drawing her weapon. The lot remained silent. The next morning, Laura returned to the motel office, determined to confront Carl. She found him leaning against the counter, sipping a cup of coffee and looking as unbothered as ever.
"Morning, detective," he drawled, smirking. "Cut the act, Carl," Laura snapped. "I know there's more to this place than you're letting on. What's going on here?" Carl raised an eyebrow, setting his coffee down. "Told you everything I know. Guests come, guests go. Sometimes they don't check out. Not my problem." "Don't play coy," she said, stepping closer. "I know about the fire. The orphanage. Your father. This place has a history, and I want answers." Carl's smirk faded, replaced by something darker, an almost predatory glint in his eyes. "You've been talking to the locals," he said quietly. "They always like to blame the past. Makes them feel better about the things they can't explain." "Explain it to me then," Laura demanded. "What happened to the Bennett family? And what the hell was that last night?" Carl leaned forward, his voice dropping to a whisper. "You don't want to know, detective. Some things are better left buried." Before Laura could press further, the office door swung open, and a young woman stormed in. "They're gone," she cried, her voice trembling. Laura turned to see the woman, her face pale and tear-streaked. "Who's gone?" Laura asked, stepping toward her. "My husband and son," the woman said. "We stayed in room 3 last night. I went to get coffee this morning, and when I came back, they were gone." Laura's stomach sank. "Another disappearance." "Start from the beginning," she said, guiding the woman to a chair. The woman, Rebecca Gray, explained how her family had checked in late the previous evening. Everything seemed normal until she woke up to find the bed next to her empty. Her husband's wallet and phone were still in the room, but there was no sign of him or their 5-year-old son, Tommy. "It's like they just vanished," Rebecca said, her voice breaking. "Please, you have to find them." Laura felt a deep unease settling over her. Two families, two disappearances, and one common thread: the motel. Determined to dig deeper, Laura left the office and headed to the town's library, hoping to uncover more about the motel's past. The librarian, a woman named Margaret, was more than willing to help. "The Restful Pines Motel," Margaret said, her voice tinged with concern. "I haven't heard that name in years. Why are you asking about it?" Laura explained the recent events, and Margaret nodded grimly. "That place has always been strange. It's been the site of disappearances for decades, going back to when it was first built in the 1960s. Do you have any records of the fire at the orphanage?" Laura asked. Margaret led her to the archive room, where rows of dusty newspapers and town records were stored. Together, they unearthed an article from 1954 detailing the tragic fire that destroyed the St. Mary's Orphanage, which had stood on the same land where the motel now sat. The fire claimed the lives of over 20 children and 2 caretakers. Survivors reported hearing strange noises in the days leading up to the blaze: whispers, footsteps, and doors slamming on their own. The cause of the fire was never determined, but rumors of arson persisted. "Here," Margaret said, pointing to a photograph in the article. It showed the surviving children standing outside the smoldering ruins, their faces pale and hollow. Laura's breath caught when she recognized a familiar face. "That's Carl," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. Margaret frowned. "Impossible. Carl wasn't born until the 1970s. That's probably his father." Laura stared at the photo, a sense of dread washing over her. There was no mistaking the resemblance. But if the boy in the photo wasn't Carl, who was he? That evening, Laura returned to the motel, armed with the knowledge she'd gathered. She knocked on Carl's door, her nerves on edge. When he answered, his expression was unreadable. "We need to talk," Laura said, pushing past him into his living quarters. The room was sparse, with little more than a bed, a chair, and a small table. On the wall hung an old photograph in a cracked frame. Laura froze when she saw it. The photo was of the St. Mary's Orphanage, taken before the fire. In the corner of the image, a young boy stood apart from the others, his eyes dark and piercing. It was the same boy from the newspaper article, the same boy who looked exactly like Carl. "Who is he?" Laura demanded, pointing to the photo. Carl's face darkened. "You should have left it alone, detective. Tell me the truth, she said, her voice firm. Who is he, and what's happening at this motel? Carl smiled faintly, but it was a cold, joyless smile. He's me, Carl said. And he's not me. Not anymore. The air in the room grew heavy, and Laura felt the familiar chill from room 6 creeping over her. What do you mean? She asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Carl's eyes glinted with something inhuman. You've seen the writing on the mirror, he said. You already know. They're still here. And now. So are you. As the shadows in the room began to shift and crawl, Laura realized she was no longer dealing with a missing persons case. The truth about the Restful Pines Motel was far darker, and far more dangerous, than she had ever imagined. Chapter 4. The Darkness Beneath. Detective Laura Hayes felt the air grow colder as Carl's cryptic words lingered in the room. They're still here. And now. So are you. Her instincts screamed at her to leave, but her feet felt rooted to the floor, as if the room itself were holding her captive. The shadows along the walls seemed to shift and stretch, distorting reality. What do you mean, Carl? She demanded, her voice steady despite the chill spreading through her chest. Carl leaned against the wall, his silhouette blending unnaturally with the darkness. His eyes glinted with a sinister calm. This place, he said, gesturing vaguely to the room, it's more than a motel. It's a doorway. A bridge between here and somewhere else. Laura's pulse quickened. A bridge to what? Carl smirked, his expression both mocking and resigned. To them. The ones who never left. As he spoke, the oppressive weight in the room intensified. Laura struggled to keep her focus as faint whispers began to echo, indistinct and haunting. I don't believe in ghosts, Carl, she said firmly. But I do believe in people hiding the truth. So, stop playing games and tell me, what happened to the Bennetts? And what about the other disappearances? Carl chuckled darkly. You think I'm hiding the truth? Oh, detective, the truth is all around you. You're just too blind to see it. He stepped closer, his shadow stretching unnaturally across the floor. The Bennetts, the others, they didn't leave. They were taken. This place chooses, feeds on fear, on pain, on secrets. And once it chooses you, there's no escaping. Laura felt a wave of nausea. Taken by what? Carl didn't answer. Instead, he turned toward the door and opened it, revealing the darkened hallway outside. If you really want answers, follow me. Against her better judgment, Laura followed Carl out of his quarters and into the main corridor of the motel. The once familiar hallway now felt alien, as though it had shifted into something darker and more sinister. The lights flickered, casting distorted shadows that seemed to move independently of their sources. Carl led her to the back of the building, where a locked door marked "Staff Only" stood. He produced a rusted key from his pocket and unlocked it, pushing the door open with a groan. Beyond the door was a staircase leading downward, its steps disappearing into complete darkness. What's down there? Laura asked, her voice edged with suspicion. The truth, Carl said simply, starting down the stairs without hesitation. Laura hesitated, her flashlight casting long beams of light that barely penetrated the blackness below. Steeling herself, she followed. The air grew colder as they descended, and the faint whispers Laura had heard earlier became louder, though still unintelligible. The stairs seemed endless, each step pulling her deeper into a suffocating void. Finally, they reached the bottom. The space was vast and cavernous, the walls damp and covered in moss. A faint, pulsing light emanated from the center of the room, illuminating an old, weathered stone well. What is this? Laura asked, her voice barely audible over the sound of her own heartbeat. This, Carl said, gesturing to the well, is where it all began. The orphanage fire, the disappearances, the whispers. It all comes back to this place. Laura stepped closer, her flashlight trained on the well. The light reflected off its surface, revealing symbols carved into the stone, ancient, intricate markings that seemed to writhe under her gaze. This isn't just a well, Carl continued. It's a doorway. The kids from the orphanage. They weren't just victims of a fire. They were sacrificed. Their pain, their fear. It was used to open this. Laura's stomach churned. Open it for what? Carl's face darkened. For them. The ones on the other side. Before Laura could process his words, the whispers around her grew deafening. She spun around, her flashlight revealing shadowy figures emerging from the walls. They weren't fully human. Distorted, translucent, with hollow eyes that burned like embers. They're here, Carl said, his voice calm. Laura raised her gun, pointing it at the closest figure. Stay back. The shadows paused, their movements slow and deliberate. They seemed to regard her, their empty gazes piercing into her soul. This won't help you, Carl said, gesturing to her weapon. They don't fear bullets. They don't fear anything. What do they want? Laura demanded, her voice shaking. Carl's smirk returned. They want what they've always wanted, more. More pain. More fear. More lives. Laura turned back to the well, her mind racing. The symbols carved into the stone seemed to pulse in time with the whispers, as if feeding off the energy in the room. There has to be a way to stop this, she said, her voice firm despite the rising panic in her chest. Carl shrugged. There might be. But it won't be easy. And it won't be without a cost. What cost? Before he could answer, one of the shadowy figures lunged toward Laura. She fired her weapon instinctively, the gunshot echoing through the cavern. The bullet passed through the figure harmlessly, striking the wall behind it. Run! Carl shouted, his calm demeanor finally breaking. Laura didn't need to be told twice. She bolted up the stairs, her flashlight bobbing wildly as she ascended. The shadows followed, their whispers growing into a cacophony of anguish and rage. When she burst into the main hallway of the motel, the air was thick with tension. The walls seemed to pulse, as if the entire building were alive. Laura slammed the door behind her, locking it with trembling hands. Carl emerged moments later, his face pale but composed. Now you understand, he said. Laura turned to him, her jaw tight. No, I don't. But I will. And I'm not leaving until I figure out how to end this. Carl shook his head. You're in over your head, detective. This place doesn't let go. Not of me, not of the Bennetts, not of anyone. Laura squared her shoulders, determination burning in her eyes. We'll see about that. As the night deepened, Laura began preparing for the next phase of her investigation. She didn't know what lay ahead, but one thing was certain. The Restful Pines Motel held secrets that needed to be unraveled. And she would uncover them, no matter the cost. Chapter 5. Into the Abyss. Detective Laura Hayes sat in her car outside the Restful Pines Motel, her thoughts racing as she pieced together the horror she'd witnessed. The motel wasn't just a place. It was a trap, feeding on fear and pain, consuming the lives of its guests. And the well in the basement was the epicenter of it all. Carl's cryptic words echoed in her mind. They don't let go. Not of me, not of the Bennetts, not of anyone. She couldn't allow the motel to claim more victims. She needed answers and a plan. Laura reached for her phone and dialed the number of her closest ally, forensic psychologist Dr. Evelyn Carter. Someone who had helped her unravel cases with psychological and paranormal undertones before. This is Evelyn, came the calm voice on the other end. It's Laura, she said, her voice tight. I need your help. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. Tell me everything. Laura recounted the events. The disappearances, the strange shadows, the writings on the mirror, and the well beneath the motel. Evelyn listened in silence. Only interrupting with clarifying questions. Whatever this is, Evelyn said finally, it sounds like an intersection of trauma, energy, and ritual. If that well is some sort of conduit, it might be drawing on the lingering pain of the orphanage fire. So how do I stop it? Evelyn hesitated. You'll need to disrupt the connection, to sever whatever link is feeding the energy. That usually means either closing the physical portal or breaking the ritual that created it. But be careful, Laura. If this thing is as powerful as it sounds, it won't let you interfere without a fight. Laura returned to the motel armed with a plan. She carried a crowbar, gasoline, and matches, determined to destroy the well and anything connected to it. Carl met her in the hallway, his face a mask of disbelief when he saw her equipment. "What do you think you're doing?" he asked, his voice sharp. "I'm ending this," Laura said, brushing past him. "You can't," Carl said, grabbing her arm. "You don't understand, this place is alive. It'll fight back. It'll take you." "Then it can try," Laura said, pulling free. She descended the stairs into the basement, the air growing colder with every step. The whispers began almost immediately, louder and more frantic than before. They seemed to beg, plead, and threaten all at once, but Laura pressed on, her flashlight cutting through the oppressive darkness. When she reached the well, it was pulsing with a faint, sickly light, the symbols carved into its surface glowing like molten lava. Laura approached it cautiously, the gasoline canister in her hand. "Stop," a voice hissed behind her. She turned to see one of the shadowy figures, its form flickering like static on a broken television. It stepped closer, its hollow eyes burning into hers. "You can't save them," it whispered. "You can only join them." Laura gritted her teeth, ignoring the figure as she began pouring gasoline over the well. The liquid splashed against the stone, the smell acrid in the confined space. The whispers turned into screams, and the shadows began to swarm. They darted around her, their forms growing more solid with each passing moment. Laura struck a match, her hands trembling, and held it aloft. "For the Bennetts," she said, her voice steady. She dropped the match. The gasoline ignited instantly, flames roaring to life and climbing the walls of the well. The shadows recoiled, their screams piercing the air as the fire consumed the symbols. The entire room seemed to tremble, the ground shaking beneath her feet. Laura backed away, shielding her face from the heat. The whispers turned into a deafening roar, and for a moment, she thought the motel itself might collapse. Then, as suddenly as it had started, the noise stopped. The flames died down, leaving the well blackened and cracked. The oppressive weight in the air lifted, replaced by a heavy silence. Laura stood there, breathing heavily, as the realization sank in. The well was destroyed. When she returned to the main floor, Carl was waiting for her, his expression unreadable. "It's done," she said, her voice hoarse. Carl nodded slowly.
"Maybe.
But don't think it's over." "What do you mean?" "This place doesn't let go that easily," Carl said. "You've bought yourself time, but the motel, it always finds a way." Laura's jaw tightened. "Not this time." She walked past him, stepping out into the cold night air. The motel stood behind her, its neon sign still flickering, but the sense of malevolence was gone, or so she hoped. As Laura drove away, her mind raced with unanswered questions. What exactly had the well been connected to? How many lives had the motel claimed? And most importantly, was it truly over? She glanced in her rearview mirror, the flickering sign of the Restful Pines Motel growing smaller in the distance. For now, the nightmare seemed to be over. But deep down, Laura couldn't shake the feeling that the motel's darkness wasn't gone. It was only waiting,